Let's turn our Bibles to the Epistle of James, chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. James chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Swift to hear. It is the expectation that God has concerning all His children. And that's our main topic for today. We all ought to be swift to hear the Word of God. You see, the passage that we just read begins with the word wherefore. And that takes us to the preceding two verses. Let's consider them very quickly. Verses 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. James is telling us that the Father of lights, the unchanging, immutable God, is the author of all good gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And because He is the source of all our blessings, particularly as verse 18 says, even our regeneration or our salvation, because He beget us by the word of truth, we must take heed to these things that are mentioned in our text today. He is our Father. He has begotten us, or He has caused us to be born into His kingdom by the word of truth. His word gives us eternal life. It plucks us out of misery of sin and brings us to the light and life of God's kingdom. And it is the word of truth that gives us this great honor and privilege of being God's children. And as God's children who are brought to His kingdom by the word of truth, James says, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, that we must be swift to hear when God speaks to us. Because the word of God, the word of truth, is the means by which He has brought salvation to us. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation, as Paul said in Romans 1. It is God's power. And there is nothing else that can begotten us as God's children. There's nothing else can bring life to us. And so to continue in the word of God, to continue to hear God's word, is a great privilege and blessing to God's people. So all God's children must remember, it is the Father's will that we will listen to Him. And that's why we read in verse 19, James is saying, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Let every man, beloved brethren, of course, James is a child of God, and he regards all those who have come by faith to Christ as his beloved brothers. He is an apostle, and he is appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel, and he is in the leadership of the church. Nonetheless, he does not see himself as different from the rest of the congregation. They are all one in Christ, children of God. So he calls them passionately and say, "Beloved, brethren." When we come into the presence of our Father who beget us by the word of truth, we must be swift to hear. Let every man, no Christian can say, "Well, I'm not going to listen to God for some time. I'm going to go and listen to myself or my friends." It is every born-again Christian's duty and privilege and honor to come before God and eagerly listen to Him. So let's look at that command that we have. Let every man be swift to hear. Be swift to hear. The pith and point of this particular exhortation we have is this: that we should never be reluctant or hesitant to hear God's word. If you have to be swift, you cannot be reluctant. You got to look for it. You must go forward to hear it. There must be a fervent love to hear God's word. Ask yourself, my dear friend, whether you have been rather reluctant to hear the word of truth. The word of God, which God has inspired and perfectly preserved, is in your hand. By the grace of God, godly men have translated it, and we hold on to the faithful English translation of King James Bible. Unlike the modern versions, we have it best translated in that version, and you all have it, so that you may read and know the mind of God. How eagerly do you approach the Word of God? Are you hesitant sometimes to read the Word of God? Are you reluctant? You see, the word "swift to hear" also tells us that every opportunity we have, we must take hold of it. When is the next opportunity that God is going to give to me to read the Word? I must take it. If you hesitate to take that opportunity, then you are not being swift to hear. If you think of avoiding an opportunity that God gives to you to hear the word of God, then you are not swift to hear. So swift to hear means you make all diligence to hear the word of God, to read the scriptures in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, or as many times as you have the opportunity to read it. To hear God's word on the Lord's day, to attend the Sunday school. You know, preachers are commanded in the Bible to preach in season and out of season. Have you ever wondered why? Because, do you think it's because God wants the preachers to be always occupied and not be lazy in case they have nothing to do and sit and waste their time? Of course they have to be diligent in preaching the word. But the main purpose of asking the preachers to preach in season and out of season is that you might hear. That you might hear with all diligence, with all love for the truth of God's word. If a preacher is ready to preach at all times and if there are no people to come to hear, what a tragedy it is. By the grace of God in true life, you not only have sound preaching on Sundays, you have good Sunday school classes. Are you attending? You have Tuesday night prayer meetings. Oh, sorry, in your church it's Friday night. Friday night prayer meetings. You have fellowship groups, the family Bible fellowship that came up and presented the song item. I believe it is not only to praise the Lord, but also to exhort you to join them to hear God's word. And then we have FEBC night classes. There are plenty of opportunities. I know, some of you would say, you know, Pastor Koshy, is it important to come and hear all these? Can I read all these printed sermons at home? Is it not sufficient? Am I not still hearing? Yes. You are hearing, I understand. But let me tell you something. There is a time and purpose for everything. God appointed pastors to be teachers of the Word of God. And God has appointed them so that they may take the Word of God and apply into your life. It's good to read Spurgeon, who preached in the 1800s. Nothing wrong, I'm a great fan of Spurgeon. I read a lot. But it is also equally important that you listen to your pastor who is faithful in handling God's word. Because he is the one whom God has appointed to watch over your souls. And if you say, I will read Spurgeon, I won't listen to those men whom God has appointed in my time, in my church, then something is wrong. They know your struggles. They know the present temptations that surround you. They know the severity of the problems that always distract you from following God. And they apply God's word in your present situation and struggles and make it relevant to you. And it is so vital that you come and hear God's word. If you do not give your duty importance, especially with regard to its time and also its place, then you are actually degrading the importance of the duty of hearing. You must listen carefully, eagerly, promptly, and don't hesitate. Be swift to hear. Our God, the Father of light, the one who giveth every good and perfect gift, beckons you to the word of truth. He will never tell a lie. He will never give you a deceiving word. All his words are true. The word is truth. It is to the word of truth you are called to come and hear. There is nothing in this life that you can have than the precious word of God. You know, while our Savior was here on earth, he said repeatedly, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You see that it is a wonderful exhortation from the Lord. God's exhortation is this, that you should never, ever, when you have opportunity, sit there and ignore the truth that being preached. Some of us come together on the Lord's Day like this, and we will look at the preacher with very deeply interested eyes, and we will listen to him for a while, and then we start dozing off, or we allow our minds to go this way or that way, or we try to say, well, I like what he said a while ago, but I don't like this. I'm not ready to accept this one because it will affect my life negatively. Maybe this is going to make me lose all the popularity, all the prosperity, and all the pleasure that I've been enjoying this time. So this is not the thing that I must hear. Well, okay, so I will take the first point. The second point is not so good for me. I will avoid it. Now what's the third point? Quick. It's almost time for me to go home. Finish it. How sad it is that people sometimes hear not with diligence, not with excitement. There is no hastening to receive the word. So the Lord Jesus said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You know, the Lord was not saying the people who gathered around him had no ears. They all had ears. Every one of them had. If there were some deaf people, he had healed them, actually, so they could hear better. So he was talking to a group of people who had both ears with good hearing capabilities. And that he says, if you have ears to hear. No point having ears when you come to church and hear the preacher. It's important that you use that facility that God has given to you to hear them all for yourself. Hear it for yourself. That's the idea. Let him hear. James says, let him be swift to hear. Two days ago, I received a letter from a Christian couple. And this couple came to see me because of the struggles that the family got into, the sins that troubled the family. And in that letter, there was one sentence that went something like this. Dear Pastor, thank you for guiding us through the Word of God. We have just arrived where a Christian couple should be. And it has been a very treacherous 20 years of family life because we did not take heed to God's Word. After 20 years, the husband and wife says, we just arrived where we should have been. 20 years of life. Trying to be a husband, trying to be a wife, without taking heed to what God has to say about their roles as husband and wife. Doing things according to their own wishes and whims. But I was glad to read that sentence that they have finally arrived. Because hearing God's word and appropriating it for oneself will bring all the blessedness that the Father of light has intended for them. Dear friends, receiving God's word with attentive listening will bring you to the great blessings that only God can give. Every good and every perfect gift. Not one of those gifts you will miss. Every good and every perfect gift is what God wants every man in His church to have. But it shall not come until you hear Him intently, quickly, diligently, passionately, lovingly, and appropriate them for yourself. Take it. It is not good if True Life BP Church, for that matter, Gethsemane BP Church from I come, that we have good preachers on the pulpit who are faithful to God. It's not good enough. It is wonderful that God has given them. But every man, every woman, every child, every youth in that congregation must also come to take advantage of that which God has provided through the faithful teachers of God's word. With great appetite, hunger for God's word. Oh, hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God, of the truth of God's word. Go after it. Constant hunger. You know, some people has this idea, if I listen to one message on Sunday, that will be quite good. The rest of the week I don't have to eat because I'm full. Anyway, the Bible says, if you hunger after the righteousness of God, you shall be filled. So I'm full. And maybe for some, they think they will be full for the next 1 year and will come next year, maybe for Christmas. Every Christmas they will appear. For some it's every week, once every week or once every month. How about doing that with your daily meal? You know, you take a stomach full of food this morning. Don't eat until next year. Or don't eat until next week. It is our constant passion. When we are filled, we praise Him. We go out and live in the strength that God has given through the hearing of God's word. And then we come back again to get more, so that we can be even more guided by the truth, strengthened by its power. We must come with great eagerness. Now, in order to have such diligence to hear, James gives us certain other commands. What are they? Not only swift to hear, he also says, be slow to speak. If you want to be a good hearer, you should not talk very much. Now, I happened to take a look at your elder, Dr. Jeffrey Koo's Bible study notes on James. And he confesses that when he was in school, young boy in school, he used to talk a lot in his class. And since he wrote it in public and put it in the internet, I can mention that. So, and one day his teacher told him, silence is golden. And he learned his lesson. And now being a lecturer, he knows how important that he passed it on to his friends. I mean his students. So, because if you are talking all the time, you can't listen to what your teacher is saying. When it comes to listening, it's quite difficult to be multitasking, especially if you are talking. It's hard to talk and hear. Now, talking does not necessarily always mean you talk to people around you. It can be just talking to yourself, arguing against what is being preached, expressing your own ideas, expressing your own desires. Stop talking. Listen. Stop arguing. Listen. Dear friends, I have felt very disturbed many a time as a preacher, because sometimes when I preach, I hear people whispering to one another. It's not only a distraction for the preacher, but I also know they miss the points that I mention after that. Let everyone take note that when God gives an opportunity to hear God's word, you should put aside all your arguments, all your desires and ambitions aside, and listen intently to God. And you also must stop making comments to one another. Here, Apostle James is teaching us to adventure upon the preaching of the Word of God, so that they can receive all that is being given out. Now, there are some in our churches who like to be teachers and preachers. But it is important for them to know that before they open the mouth, they listen carefully. Because if you attempt to be a teacher, as soon as you come into God's family, it's going to be a very great danger for you, because you stop listening to the Word of God and to the teachers whom God has commissioned to teach you. I know of students who become rather a thorn in the flesh while we teach in Bible college or in church. They start arguing. They seem to know a lot because they read a little bit here or there. They might have visited a website with some theological ideas, and they come together. I remember a man suggesting to me how to conduct Bible studies and Sunday school in these days. He is a great advocate of discussions. And he says, why don't Pastor Koshy give a topic and let every person in the church, particularly in your group, go back and do their research on internet. And then let them all come back with their findings. And then you discuss. What will you get at the end? If you have 10 people in that group, you probably end up with 10 different views. Everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to be a talker. But this is not what God's word says. This is not what God's word says. Teaching belongs to those who have listened and studied to prove themselves before God and man. They have to be firstly equipped before they talk. So the general command to all Christians is this: be slow to speak. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on earth, He started His public preaching and teaching rather late. I'm not saying a young person cannot preach. He was 30 years old when Jesus started preaching. You don't have to rush to this. You don't lose your opportunity. It's not coming up the pulpit and saying some things that you have picked up from here and there that makes you a preacher. You have to be taught. In order to be taught, you have to be ready to listen intently, patiently. So be slow when it comes to being a teacher. Be slow and listen first. I would rather that we all learn to be dumb first. But don't be a deaf person. Be dumb, but don't be deaf. Especially in the matters of God's word. Now, the next thing that James says there is very clear. Be slow to wrath. Wrath is another thing that makes us hard of hearing. We get agitated sometimes when we listen to God's word, because it rebukes us, because it corrects us. And we do not like to hear anything that would upset our norm of living. We don't like anyone to tell us that we are wrong. We like to be always applauded. We like always to be commended. And we don't like to be confronted and corrected. How many times we have felt anger within us? All the parents here know very well that when you correct your children, from the very beginning of your correction, if the children start to display agitation and frustration, you can speak for the next half an hour, nothing will enter that ear. You can shout at the top of your voice, it will fall on deaf ears, right? It just won't go through. Even in my experience in counseling, family counseling, when husband and wife quarrel, a person can be very patient. Let's say the wife is very patient to tell the husband what she's trying to say. But husband does not like the wife correcting him, gets agitated, and tries to point out what is wrong with him. He is not happy to hear. I don't want to listen to you. You just keep quiet. When it is like that, nothing can be achieved. Nothing can be achieved. And it's particularly so in listening to God's word. The word of God is the truth. The word of God is God's wisdom. It is God's blessing to us to feel agitated to the preaching of God's word. Is to rid ourselves of all the blessings that God make available to us. How many times have you walked away from the church with an angry heart? Now, I want to say this. Sometimes the anger may not be toward the preaching or the preacher. It can be with someone else in the church. And that can also make you a deaf person when it comes to hearing God's word. Because you are harboring all those anger within you, all those unloving thoughts. And instead of receiving that word that is being preached, you would be saying, it's good for her. It's good for him. And you sort of deflect the word from your heart to others. That's very, very dangerous. It's good for them, certainly, but it is also good for me. That's what we should say. And then let the word of God come into your heart and teach you where you have gone wrong. This is being very practical about your life as a child of God. Children of God are not expected to live in wrath. They are to love one another. They are to be fervent in charity. And without a loving atmosphere, without a tender, caring attitude, it's impossible for the word of God to convict you and to help you to grow further in the word of God. I must confess something to you. It's also important for a preacher to be not full of wrath. Because I also get offended by people in the church. And then if I allow the wrath to remain in my heart, that Sunday sermon preparation will be all guided by wrath, not by the Spirit. And when I get to the pulpit, everything I say may be out of anger and malice toward the person who agitated me. It is very important that the preacher also know that he has prepared the word of God by the guidance of the Holy Spirit and not by his own sinful spirit. So deal with your frustrated, angry spirit before you sit to hear God's word. If you don't, all the words that are uttered, all the wonderful words of life that are being preached will just fly past your ears. And you take none of it. Cease from wrath. Cease from having bad temper or this habit of cracking ill humor. You know, those jokes that are meant to hurt somebody or to poke someone. Stop all those. Come with a heart to take full possession of God's word. And it has to be a humble heart, a lowly heart. There is nothing to feel that I am so righteous, I'm so good, because I'm offended by so and so, I'm the right one. It's true, it could be true that you are the one who is right and the other person is wrong. But that does not give you the right to be angry when you come before God's presence. You must say, Lord, I'm offended. this brother of mine in the church or in my family is not seeing things as he or she should do, but Lord, please deal with that person by this time. Help me also to learn from your word, to be loving, to be forgiving, to be charitable, to be a help and a reason for edification to those who have offended me. And only when you come with that sort of readiness to take away the wrath from your heart, then the blessing of God's word come to your heart and make you what you ought to be. There is one more counsel that James gives to us in verses 20 and 21. Let me hasten to those words of verses 20 and 21. He says, "The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." So he says, if you have anger in your heart, it will not help you to fulfill God's righteousness. Rather, it will cause you to keep on thinking about that which is evil, that which is contrary to God's righteousness. It could be the things that you are going to say to others. It could be the things that you are going to do. It could be the manner in which you are going to conduct yourself. So be careful. Wrath must be put to death as quickly as possible. And then he says, he picks up the idea of righteousness there and goes on to say in the next verse, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." Lay apart all filthiness. All sorts of impurities in your heart must be rid of. You should not allow your heart to entertain anything evil, because if those things remain in your heart, then you will not cherish the truth of God's word, because you are cherishing sinful things. God's word and sin cannot coexist. Either the word of God get rid of sin, or sin will get rid of the word of God. It cannot be both ways. So the scripture is clear. Are there any impurities in your heart? Are you living in fornication? To be more plain, premarital sex? Are you watching pornography? Are you unforgiving? Are you impatient? Are you disobedient to parents? Are you being selfish and covetous? Ask yourself, are there sins that you have not dealt with but allowed to remain in your heart? If you do, you will not grow in the word of God. You know, Peter says it in a more graphic way. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We will begin with 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, and then we'll go to 1 Peter 2. "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Peter says, the word of the Lord endureth forever, the perfect, everlasting word of God. "And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." And then he goes on to say in chapter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore laying aside," because of the word that is being preached to you constantly, you must lay aside, put aside, all malice, all sorts of mischievousness, all guile, all kinds of deception, all kinds of hypocrisies. You see, hypocrisies is in plural. There are many kinds of hypocrisies. There are many ways in which you act as an hypocrite. And there are many kinds of envies and all evil speakings, whether it's lying or gossiping or slandering. You must put away all these things. Lay aside. Why? Verse 2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." In James' words, well, he said, we must lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. All these thoughts that are within your heart will soon grow to be real sins in your life, and which will cause you to ignore God's word. Now you might have come to the church, but if you don't deal with your sin, you will not even come to church. Soon, the sins will take you away from the congregation. It can be the unforgiveness towards somebody who has offended you. It can be that gossiping attitude that you have. It can be that prideful spirit. Deal with it. So if you were to be a child of God who is swift to hear God's word, and that you may be blessed with every good and perfect gift, then take note, be slow to speak, be slow to wrath, and lay aside all sins. And thus, you'll be able to hear the word of God as God wants you to hear. And like a newborn babe, desiring the milk of God's word. And no baby will be satisfied or can be swayed away from crying if that child is hungry. Every baby is always crying for milk. Only when it is satisfied or filled, it will keep quiet. If a baby is hungry and start crying, you sing a lot of hymns, you bring all the colorful toys, the baby won't stop crying. It must be fed. And who will be the one who will desire God's word like that in the church? Those who will be quiet and silent before God to hear all that He says and to receive. Those who would suppress their own self-glorifying thinking that will lead to pride and humbly sit before God. And those who pray for the removal of all filthiness from the heart, so that the word of God may have a fertile ground in the heart to grow. Such will have abundant fruit of hearing God's word. All the good and perfect gift that the Father of light has intended for us. To this God calls you today. Would you not dedicate yourself by saying, Lord, forgive me for ignoring thy word. I came to this church. I have heard so many times the importance of hearing God's word. I have been exhorted by the elders of the church to come and study, but I have ignored it so often. Please forgive me, Lord. Help me to be an ardent student of God's word. And give me all the blessings that you have planned for me. You know, don't go for the things that your mind teach you to go. Go for the things that God has reserved for you. That's the best. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for bringing us to hear thy word. Your perfect word, your precious word, your timeless word, your ever sufficient word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, to which you have called us. And we pray, Lord, a Lord's day like this will be a day of great joy in your presence. Even when we leave this place to our homes, we will not waste our time watching TV and doing this and that are not important. But we will find time to sanctify our hearts through the reading of the scriptures, to hear the word. And we will also dedicate ourselves to be part of the teaching ministry of our churches, so that we may hear God's word and be blessed and receive all the good things that you have planned in Christ Jesus for us. Please help us. With thanksgiving we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.